Janae and Gola Jr., the podcast.
Come on, y'all. I love the Constitution State. I love the Nutmeg State. It's too damn Friday here on Janae and Gola Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus. Janae Ogumike, Mike Gola Jr. holding it down. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Lines. Now, in about half an hour, we will get you all set for the weekend in the NFL by playing End Zone, Friend Zone. I love that. That's one of my favorite parts of Fridays. And it's also a big weekend for college football with the conference championships. But one coach has made some real noise, and it's not about what's happening on the field. We'll get to that. But right now, Junior, this show is very fair. Am I correct?
Fair and balanced. Listen, we want to hear everybody out in these situations.
Yes, everybody. We like to bring on all voices, and we've had your heavy Notre Dame voice for a long time, the existence of this show. And so right now we're extremely hyped to bring on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line, Eric McLean, who is the all-time winningest player in Clemson history, where he was center. And by the way, I just found out, like, he's younger than me, which, like, never really happens at ESPN. Played there from 2011 to 2015. Eric, thank you so much for coming back and joining us. And before we get to your team, and first of all, like, I didn't know you were this young on the block. Like, okay, youthful energy.
Come on. Hey, you know that they're cooking us young over here in the ACC, and I actually have to give credit to my brother-in-law. He is now the winningest player in Clemson history. So after they won, you know, those championships, he stole the belt from me, unfortunately.
You know what? At least you kept it in the family, though, EMAC, right?
Yep.
That's right. We're keeping it in the family. That's right.
This is a family show, and I feel like you are now one of our, we call it affectionately, side pieces, people that come on a lot. And so you are part of our crew. You're part of our family. I know. That's the first time I hear that.
I am honored.
It's the first time anyone said they're honored to be a side piece. So we've created an interesting situation here.
Oh, my gosh. This is me. I'm so sorry. This is what I do to you, America. Now, before we get to your team, Clemson. I mean, obviously, we're all talking today about Brian Kelly's comments, Coach Kelly's comments about finding a solution for players so that in the semifinal game, they'll be able to have, you know, family there. What did you make of his comments?
I'm 100% with Coach Kelly, and it sounded like Coach Sweeney felt very similar in the fact that, you know, I couldn't imagine, and Mike, you may feel the same way. I could not imagine potentially playing my last college game ever across the country and my parents not being there and not seeing my father after the game, not seeing my mother after the game and other family members that I'm sure would travel. So I'm with him. I think they totally need to find a solution, either move the game, change the rules. Of course, everybody's going to stay safe, and that's the main thing. But you can't tell me that we can be in South Carolina and have, you know, 50,000 people in the stands. We can be in Texas and have 60,000 people in the stands, and we can't have family at the Rose Bowl. Come on, we've got to figure something out.
And the College Football Playoff Committee waiting to see if California is going to grant them a waiver in this instance. But you're right, EMAC. I think this starts a conversation that maybe puts some pressure on the powers involved to make this right for everybody in this situation. Now, before we get to that point, because a lot of people laughed, Brian Kelly and Notre Dame talking about the playoff that they're not even in yet. The ACC Championship this weekend coming up, EMAC. Notre Dame and Clemson, the rematch here. And a lot's been made about Trevor Lawrence not playing in this game the last time, as well as a number of other starters. And that's where I want to go with you. You know this team as well as anybody. As you look at this matchup, we know Clemson's getting Trevor Lawrence back. But in your mind, who's the other most important player that Clemson's getting back that could change the tides in this game?
Yeah, well, it's the quarterback of the defense. It's going to be James Skalski, and a guy that is literally a coach on the field, a guy that is an extension of Coach Venables out there, and just, you know, a young man that prepares so well. He loves to be in the film room. He wants to study. He finds great pride in knowing what's going to happen before it does, and so he wasn't out there last time. You have a guy in big Mike Jones, a linebacker, another guy that's fast, athletic, shifty. He's the guy that's going to be able to contain and to spy Ian Book, who has done an unbelievable job ever since that Clemson game of using his legs to extend plays, to pick up big yards on the ground. That's going to be an equalizer there. And then, of course, at defensive tackle, you know, Tyler Davis, a guy who was an All-American candidate a year ago, is a big body, 300-plus pounds, that can hold on this amazing offensive line for Notre Dame. And the fact that Notre Dame will be missing their starting center, it's almost, Mike, a 180 power shift when you talk about Clemson now getting their best back, Notre Dame not having their best. So those are the three pieces that I'm really paying attention to on the game on Saturday.
Talking to Eric McLain with us, ESPN ACC Network analyst, former Clemson center and offensive lineman on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line with us. And EMAC, you've joined me and Jason Fitz and Christine Williamson on the Rankings Reaction Show on Tuesdays talking about the playoff scenarios. So I want to look at this game from that lens now with you. Let's say we go out this weekend and Clemson wins in the rematch here, and Clemson wins by a big number in this one. What do you think this shakes out? Do you think that Notre Dame is in the playoff no matter what, or does this have to be a close game if Clemson's going to be the winner here?
No, Mike, I don't think it honestly matters, man. I don't think it matters what happens Saturday. I think that both these teams are in. I think that the committee has shown that they, number one, don't really care about losses. You know, well, you got a Florida team that gets embarrassed at home to a terrible, terrible LSU football team this year, and they drop one spot. So you're telling me that it doesn't matter how Notre Dame loses, they're in, because you look at eye test, you look at game control, you look at all these different metrics that this committee is telling us that they're using. Notre Dame's one of the most complete teams, if not the most complete team in the country. They are in. They have earned that right. They're that good of a team. It doesn't matter what happens on Saturday. So I think that they've earned that. They deserve that. And, you know, all things willing, we're going to have two ACC teams in the college football playoffs.
Well, and EMAC, that was the last thing I wanted to ask you here, because on the other side, if Notre Dame is able to go out here and get the season sweep here, and you've got a two-loss Clemson team, how viable do you think their place is in the college football playoff if they did have that two in the loss column?
Yeah, see, that's the interesting thing, man. Before last Tuesday, I would have said there's no shot that a two-loss team is in. But with the committee only dropping that Gators team, that Florida team, one spot after losing to a non-ranked, a losing team at home, that they just don't value losses the same. They don't punish teams the same as committees have done in previous years. So you're telling me that if Clemson loses to the number two team in the country at a neutral site, you're going to drop them more than you just dropped Florida? So I have no clue what to expect, Mike. Based on what they've done all year long, I would go out on a limb and say that both of these teams are in regardless what happens. But, you know, Selection Sunday gets a little weird sometimes.
It's going to be exciting to see. You're right. Selection Sunday, the committee all together watching these games. Going to be a fascinating one on this one. EMAC, I know you're going to pick Clemson in this one and run with your alma mater on this. I'm going to obviously pick Notre Dame in this one. So do we have a jersey swap bet in this for this one? Notre Dame wins.
Oh,
I get to see you on a Mike Golic with a Mike Golic Jr. Notre Dame jersey on the ACC net. Clemson wins.
I am all in on that
yes.
one. We, whatever color you want. I've got purple, orange, white, whatever you want. We can make that happen.
Loki, I really do like the purple, so if I'm going to pick, it's going to be that one. But, all right, we've got the jersey bet in the
Deal.
Books on this one for me
Love
and Eric
it.
McLain.
You can book it.
We appreciate the time, brother. We will talk to you after the dust clears this weekend, all right?
No doubt. Appreciate you guys always. Have a great show.
Bowl season looming. Tune in tomorrow for that ACC championship game presented by Goodyear. Coverage begins at 6:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN. I figure it was time. Our show needed a bet.
That was very generous of you.
Listen.
And I was like, I wanted to say, I want to see you in the orange, honestly. Like, oh, you want to look good in the purple? No, I want to see you in the orange.
Listen, I'm not going to have to worry about that, so it's going to be fine,
okay.
Ian.
All right.
Guys,
okay.
For the love of
God. I like that. Keep that same
of
memory.
God. The
yeah.
Tigers and the Fighting Irish are more driven. More Driven's brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. I saw Notre Dame just touch down in Charlotte for the ACC championship game. So, guys, really need you to come through for me here. I don't look great in orange. But let's stick with the Fighting Irish. Coming up next, do we think that any of Brian Kelly's comments resonated, good or bad, with the College Football Playoff Committee? We'll get to that next. Chinay and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio.
Chinay and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Happy Friday, everybody! Too damn Friday. We did the move, yes, where you threw it out. He was, you know, dancing, and he did the whole
thing. I wasn't sure
move.
If you caught it. Like
I was throwing.
No, I saw you after the fact. I stopped reeling at that point, so I wasn't sure it
it's
totally
okay.
worked. But
we'll work on our chemistry. But first and foremost, what do we have? Eagles, Cardinals, Chiefs, Saints. In about 10 minutes, we will play End Zone, Friend Zone. I'm so excited for that. But I really want to start the conversation that we just, you know, finished up again, because it's been really interesting following Notre Dame and obviously Clemson. And we just had Eric McLain on, who you guys were very gentlemanly, you know, very peaceful, nice agreement here. I thought there was going to be a little hostility there. But first, Chinay Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio, streaming live on ESPN Plus. Chinay and Mike Golic Jr. Now, ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive's Home Insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. You guys were actually shockingly civil.
Janae, we're former offensive linemen. Like, this is a brotherhood. I've always said, when you get to the room of big fat guys on the team, we've all got to be, like, witty and nice and over-the-top personality, because people don't want to naturally hang out with the group of 300-pound dudes that smell bad. So there's, like, a bond for all of us the rest of our lives, because we've been through that.
Okay, that makes sense. I mean, I don't discriminate.
I like how you're like, I love how you didn't try and like soften and be like, no, Mike, like big guys are awesome. I loved hanging out with the offensive line at Stanford. It was like, no, that checks out. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm thinking back to my Stanford days and I was hanging out with the cornerbacks, the safeties, tight ends. Yeah, I'm sorry. I need to be better. I will work at being better in the future. But, you know, it's been really funny, Junior, because there's been a lot of noise on the field by both of these teams and what they've been able to do this season. But there has been a lot of noise off the field, especially with Coach Brian Kelly and his comments about players having their families available during the college football playoff. And to unpack all of the conversations and the comments that Coach Kelly made, let's have this conversation in One and Done.
So much to say.
Are you good? Like, do you need a minute to breathe? Do you need some water?
So little time.
I'm trying to balance a lot right now.
One and done.
So pretty much what had happened was Coach Brian Kelly of Notre Dame said on Friday today that if the Fighting Irish are chosen to make the college football playoff, they would consider not playing if their families are not allowed to attend the semifinal game. Now, Junior, it's been really interesting because a lot of people say like, oh, you guys aren't assuming, you guys are, you're looking past the game, you're assuming you're going to already be there. That's not the point of this. I feel like this is a situation where it's not what he's saying, it's how he's saying it. And if you are still wondering on how he said it, why don't you just right now listen for yourself?
He had the time today, boy. This is Brian Kelly going off on the idea that the CFP would be played in a site that doesn't allow family and friends. We want to give him the space.
They got to figure out how to make sure that whatever sites they play at, that the parents are going to be watching their sons play. That's what they got to figure out. So maybe they need to spend a little less time on who the top four teams are and figure out how to get parents into these games, because it is an absolute shame and a sham if parents can't be watching their kids play. My kids have been on campus here since June, okay? They haven't seen their families very much at all. They've had to fight through COVID. Some of them have had COVID. They haven't had – they can't be around their families for Christmas. I'm going to have them here for Christmas. I'm going to bring in families that aren't theirs during Christmas. And you're going to tell me we're going to have a playoff and maybe one site can have families and the other can't. Please. Somebody's got to wake up in that room and figure this out. Or you just might as well just call this the professional league, because nothing speaks to this is just about having a playoff and we don't care about the student athletes. So I know I went off on a tangent, but I am so sick and tired of this playoff committee talking about having sites where you can't have parents at it and their families. It's ridiculous. Sorry.
Woo!
I love how
he said talk, Brian.
He was like, sorry.
Yeah. That's one of those ones where the coach goes, sorry, what was your question?
Yeah, what was
And then you get back to it after that. Janae, there's a lot to unpack there, because at the end of that, I appreciate him saying what was normally the quiet thing very loud. This has essentially been made pro sports in the way that the pandemic has been approached by college football at large. And the committee, who is one of these that, like the NCAA when it comes to the tournament, props up this idea that this is about the good of the athletes, has a chance to show whether that's true or not. Because we're all already operating in the fairyland thing that's happened in college football, where you've tried to charge ahead in the global pandemic. And so Brian Kelly's saying, if this is already where we're living and there's a way that other programs are going to be able to do this safely, there's no reason that one or two, in this case, teams that are being a part of the playoff should be in a situation that puts them in a different spot relative to their families being there.
Now, there was a really interesting quote that I don't think we just heard, where he literally said, where is it? We're worshiping the ashes of tradition when it comes specifically to these sites where historically you have these games. And I think a lot of people, I don't know if it's just me, but I've seen a lot of these stats where these two teams have met up every year since, you know, the Second World War. And so now these traditions are being broken, but now the time is due to the complexities of the pandemic. I feel like everyone understands reality means that, yes, these things might happen. But seriously, like, we all are saying do it safely. But if there's an ability for families to be there, do we break from tradition so that we can actually hear the voices and actually create a dream that these athletes have worked for? Like, can you imagine winning and then looking and being like, oh man, like, this is what you literally aspired to do, but you have no one there besides your team, which is great to celebrate with. Those people that literally put you in the car, that taught you the game, they're not there. I feel what he's talking about. I think sometimes this message can get messed up with where his team actually is sitting right now.
Yeah, Chiney, I think, again, there are going to be those that say the family shouldn't be traveling anyway, that this isn't safe to do in the middle of a pandemic. But sending them to Southern California, where all these numbers, as you know, have heated up in a way that's far worse than they were at the start of the season, could be deemed equally as responsible in this spot. I think what we're seeing, Janae, is Brian Kelly giving voice to what we've already kind of seen spoken about. Remember Jeff Hafley in Boston College and a number of those ACC teams that said, we're not going to a bowl game. Our kids are exhausted. They've been through the ringer on this. And I'm sure Brian Kelly, Dabo Swinney, who echoed these sentiments, are looking at their teams and seeing a same bit of that for a group that's still motivated by the prospect of a championship, but still understanding that these are young adults, these are guys with lives outside of the building that have been changed in very different ways, and that they look and say, a committee can change. Brian Kelly's going to take a lot of heat for this because he's Brian Kelly, because he's a polarizing figure in the football landscape, and because Notre Dame is a polarizing place. But when people get away from just that idea, and when people stop and listen to what's being said, I think a lot more people are going to look at this and talk about it. And I think that was the goal all along here, to take what's been talked about and spoken about in private and make it a public conversation that puts pressure in a very real way on the people making these decisions.
Yeah, and I really think that, you know, by having these conversations, he's actually advocating for players in a way that actually will move the needle. You have to do it. And the crazy part here to me is just big picture. I feel like getting the athletes to this point, yes, the national championship was a motivating factor, but I think honestly with mental health, families will get them to that bowl game in the college football playoff. That's what they're probably looking forward to the most.
We'll see if college football can get to the finish line. It keeps going with the conference championship games this weekend and then Selection Sunday coming up, where the committee will decide, among other things, who actually gets to play in these games. Notre Dame's going to play if they're selected in it. Don't read the headline.
True.
Understand what comes after all of that. Speaking of getting to the end zone, though, despite what Jason Fitz and Sarah Spain have to say about us, we are qualified to let you know who is going to get over the hump this weekend when it comes to the NFL. End zone or friend zone next? It's Janae Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio.
Janae Golic Jr., the podcast.
Okay, so in about 10 minutes, if you can, please try to pop on ESPN Plus just to see our lovely faces, but more importantly, because we'll play the best video you'll probably see all day with all the feels. Oh my gosh, our producer Shannon is really dancing with a red cup in his hand. All the holiday vibes.
It is Friday as hell right
it's
now.
Big Friday
ready
over here.
Ready.
I'm Shannon Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio. I think that's the first time I've ever seen Shannon dance. It's Shanae Ogwumike and Mike Golic Jr. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us via the Shell, Pennzoil, Performance Lines. Now, before we get to End Zone, Friend Zone, Junior, you said something. And by the way, like that nice little, like, I don't know, it almost looked like a chicken head. That's the dance move. It was pretty sturdy, Shannon. I respect that. What's the fact that you said, Junior, that you had during the break?
I was going to say, I am shocked, because we're going to get to End Zone, Friend Zone. We got plenty of great nuggets going into this NFL weekend and a little college action, because I can't resist, especially now that me and Eric McLean, ACC Network football analyst and former Clemson Tiger, got a little action on this game here. I was amazed by this. Did any of you guys know that licorice is a plant?
What?
Amazing!
This, y'all, America, this is what I deal with 24/7. Okay?
Licorice is a plant, and that too much of it will cause muscle cramps and heart failure. So be careful out there. You never know.
You know, actually, that's very important, because as athletes, that's like red vines. Isn't that licorice?
Well, see, now here's the thing is, I don't know if Twizzlers necessarily qualify as like licorice in the same way that you're thinking of like normal black licorice or anything like that. So I don't have a ton of ammunition on here. I just thought you guys want to know that. End zone, friend zone. Hit the sounder.
Cliff, come on.
As
save
millennials,
us.
One of the greatest triumphs in life is watching someone make it out of the friend zone. You're hoping, wishing.
You're strategizing.
And that's what we're going to try and do here this weekend. We want to get everyone ready for this weekend in the NFL.
End zone or friend zone.
Let you know who's going to end up in the friend zone or the end zone when it comes to this NFL Sunday.
Friend zone to the
end zone.
I'm not going to lie. That sounded better in my head than it did when it came out. As Cliff just said, we've made everyone in America, I made everyone in America, dumber for having listened to that
Honestly,
2 minutes.
Honestly, I love you for those nuggets.
Well, you know what? We've got great nuggets on that. We've got great nuggets in End Zone, Friend Zone, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Vans. Drive a Mercedes-Benz van and find out how far an extra mile really goes. From customization and service to financial assistance, Mercedes-Benz van are ready for anything. What's the first game?
Eagles at Cardinals.
All right, Eagles at Cardinals coming up this weekend. Chiney, the second start for Jalen Hurts in Philadelphia Eagles uniform on the road against a lot of people's, you know, favorite dark horse team from this offseason and team trying to get into one of those last few spots in the NFC playoff picture. Who you got here?
You're going to call them a dark horse team? They're Jordan Sparks' team after this week, okay, who joined us yesterday on Chiney and Golic Jr. Now, End Zone, I'm going to put both quarterbacks because they're doing something that I think a lot of people really love, especially in, I guess, height abbreviated packages. I'm trying to say it in a nice way. Dual threat quarterbacks in the end zone. And that's one thing that Kyler Murray has really certified this year. Kyler Murray has 712 rushing yards and then also 10 TDs on the ground through 13 games. And now Jalen Hurts, he ran for 106 on 18 attempts last weekend versus the Saints. So I feel like for both of these quarterbacks, it's proving that something can be done, even when it's, you know, more heart than height.
Arizona giving 7 points in this game, by the way, as heart and height are on full display, some more than others in this one. I was actually going to go friend zone on this one, Jalen Hurts. Well, I don't think he's going up against as good of a defense in the Arizona Cardinals defense on this. I think it's going to be one of those games where going out into that first start and now having a week of tape where Arizona can look at him on defense, where they can get an understanding here. You mentioned so much of it was done on the ground. I think this is one where we didn't see any turnovers through the air last time. I think the Arizona defense is able to pick him off, get a win out here, and things come back down to earth a little bit in Philadelphia. What's next, Cliff?
Patriots at Dolphins.
Miami, a 1-point favorite in this game. Remember, the Patriots beat the Dolphins 21-11 in the season opener there. We had a lot of high hopes for Cam Newton in this Patriots offense after that. So end zone, friend zone with this one, Chiney. Who you got?
They told me when I started playing fantasy, don't go with people that you actually like. Go with people that you actually need. And I actually liked Cam Newton. I got him and that my team was called Super Cam That Bro. And I think right now this is where I officially put everything Patriots in the friend zone, unfortunately, especially their playoff chances. Right now they're 2 games behind the Ravens and the Dolphins and 3 games behind Indy, and now they have an NFL record. I don't know if everyone remembers that 11 consecutive playoff appearances. That is in jeopardy just because of the way this year has gone. So I feel like New England might be trusting the process very soon.
Ooh, you sound like me in the offseason. I thought they were tanking for sure this season in a way that was going to be very exciting. Chiney, I'm going to go friend zone here. Belichick defenses versus rookie quarterbacks. Now, I think the Patriots have a good chance of winning this game against a rookie quarterback, but I also look and say this Dolphins defense is better than the ones most rookie quarterbacks are coming into this situation with. Special teams, this group has performed above the way they were when Ryan Fitzpatrick is at the quarterback since Tua has taken over here. I think the difference will be Tua Tagovailoa taking care of the football. They were able to beat down the Chargers and Justin Herbert, who are not a playoff team and haven't been a playoff team, and took it away from him twice in that game. I think I take the under on that. Fewer than 2 turnovers from Tua Tagovailoa in this game, with Miami a strong chance to keep it rolling as them and the Bills get a lot of revenge in this division. What do we got next, Cliff?
Chiefs at Saints.
Chiefs a 3-point favorite on the road against the Saints. Chiney, we know Drew Brees getting the start. Michael Thomas out for this one. So, end zone, friend zone, who you got here?
Look, I'm going to keep going. I think it's been 3 weeks straight for me. I'm going to put Travis Kelce in the end zone. That man is on fire. I mean, Travis Kelce is the first tight end with 3 seasons of at least 1,200-plus receiving yards in NFL history. Plus, he only needs 128 receiving yards over his final 3 games to break the record for the most receiving yards by a tight end in NFL history. T. Kelce is getting it for me. In the end zone.
Easy one for me to ride the rails on then, Chiney, because I'm going to go Patrick Mahomes in the end zone as well on this one, which doesn't seem shocking to a lot of people, but going up against a marked jump in competition against this Saints defense, the second best defense in the NFL against the best passing offense in the NFL, Mahomes has gone for over 315 yards passing in 6 straight games. He is on a tear right now. He is on a heater right now, and you never walk away from the table when you're on a heater. What's the last game, Cliff?
Number 3, Clemson versus number 2, Notre Dame.
Let's work on your voice, Cliff.
I appreciated it, Cliff. The improv on the fly. Notre Dame, a 10.5 point, at least that's the last line I saw, dog against Clemson in the ACC championship game. Chiney, you've heard me gas bag on it plenty. End zone or friend zone, who you got this weekend?
This weekend, I'm sorry, this is where... Just kidding, psych, you can pump fake that. I'm putting Notre Dame into the end zone because, most importantly, I'd be afraid to see what you look like Monday if they lost.
It's a fair point. It's a more than fair point, Chiney. I am miserable to be around when Notre Dame has the chance to ruin my weekend, which I found out they do every weekend because I haven't left that fan behavior behind. I'll give you one here for the end zone for Notre Dame. I think looking at this matchup, so much is going to be talked about, obviously, in the trenches. Starters back on the defensive side of the ball. Eric Macklin was on with us and gave us a great preview of all the different defensive players for Clemson, in addition to Trevor Lawrence being back on offense, that are going to help them out. I think Notre Dame and what they've gotten from Javon McKinley at wide receiver, really going back to that Clemson game, over 100 yards receiving in that game, and in three of the four games he's played, including that one since, over 100 yards. He has become the number one receiving threat for a Notre Dame passing attack that has continued to make progress since then. I think in a game where they've got a bunch of bodies back in the middle, you're going to have to go deep to win, and I think Javon's going to go a long way in that connection with Ian Book.
I'm burning imaginary sage for you.
Yes. I'm going to say, like Kyrie Irving and TD Garden right now, we are burning sage to rid ourselves of the evil spirits as we head into this weekend. Notre Dame and Clemson in the ACC championship game and a whole bevy of NFL action to get to. Coming up next, you thought that video of Kyrie Irving burning sage in TD Garden would be the best video that we saw all day. You thought wrong. We will give you the best sound and sights from today in sports, and we'll do it next. Chiney and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio.
Chiney and Golic Jr., the podcast.
This is how we do it on Chiney and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live on ESPN Plus. Chiney Ogwumike, Mike Golic Jr. This is how we do it. We always give love to the crew, and that includes Devon Givens, Sixers insider. You can check him out on the 97.5, The Fanatic in Philly, who really broke down Philly right now and why they are somehow still patient giving all the swirling trade rumors. I don't know how y'all do that, Cliff, but I digress. And also in the NBA ranks, we had Andre Snellings, ESPN NBA senior writer, who gave us a team in the NBA that is right now being slept on. No one's talking about them. Dame Dalla in them. Now switching to football, Marcus Spears joined us, our own ESPN NFL analyst, also one of the hosts of NFL Live, and he gave love to a young Chargers quarterback, which was really interesting. And now going to the college ranks, Eric McLean of ACC Network, the analyst for college football, balanced this out to our Notre Dame. He provided us the Clemson to preview the ACC championship game and conference championship week in college ranks. And speaking of which, Chiney Ogwumike, Mike Golic Jr., Stanford, Notre Dame proudly, and I firmly believe y'all will win. Actually, I'm a little nervous, too. I feel like the more I'm trying to get confident, the more I sort of get nervous, Junior.
Believe me.
All those conversations, though. We talked to all those people. It was great. You guys can re-rack our show, re-watch us if you missed something on ESPN+, Plus, or you can listen to us on our podcast, Chiney and Golic Jr. Subscribe, rate, and review. Again, ND, it's all the vibes for you as we keep that same energy.
Chiney, I can understand why you're conflicted in this. I understand your feelings on this because I, too, fight those feelings as a Notre Dame fan. So you're right at home with the rest of us as we keep that energy going into the weekend. We want to be a jolt of energy.
Yeah, the energy level was really high there.
And now we want to keep that same energy going.
Keeping that same energy.
Keep that same energy.
You could just sense that there was a tremendous amount of energy.
With Chiney and Golic Jr.
What we got?
All right, Chiney, we look at this one as we made it. It is Friday. We are finally here, keeping that same energy going towards the weekend. And I enjoyed this one. I'm sorry. I know it wasn't something we had planned, but Randy Moss went on Terrell Owens' podcast and ranked the top receivers of all time and said, I'll put myself first, I'll put T.O. second, and I would probably put Jerry Rice third or fourth or something like that. Like, if that's not just a petty all-star out here, tune in to Sunday NFL Countdown and watch that man just stunt all over everyone. The audacity to challenge Jerry Rice,
Chiney. The audacity. I love how they're both together, and they're like, okay, it doesn't really matter if I'm one or two as long as we're both top two, right? I'm top two, and I'm not talking about two.
Exactly.
Number two.
Our favorite number in this show. Speaking of our favorite things in all of this, Chiney, one of our favorite videos from today, you see it right here now on ESPN Plus for everyone watching. Kyrie Irving, video circulating of him at TD Garden in Boston before the Nets game against the Celtics, burning sage out here. And I'm not going to lie, Chiney, he is nice with the sage. Like, he has done some saging before. He has saged before. He will sage again. And clearly, he has decided that, as Bomani Jones pointed out on Twitter, it is not foul to go in and sage somebody's house. Where are you at with that, Janae?
I'm cool with it. Like, I feel like if this is what he went in the season knowing that he's dealing with a lot of things, if this gives him the ease to step into a place where he probably will. I mean, hey, there are no fans. No fans this time around, so I guess I'm wondering what, you know?
Well, I'm wondering, Janae, now, is he going to sage every arena? Or is it just TD Garden?
I think this is his routine.
See, I'm going to be very interested now because you know people are going to take it some type of way if you're coming in and saging one house, but not saging every house in this situation. So we're going to wait and see on that one. The saging going on here right now is going to be very, very interesting. But this is the kind of positive energy that I like seeing from Kyrie.
Yes.
It's not him ducking the media. He knows the cameras are there, and he's drawing attention to himself in a positive way.
Yes.
Don't stand in the corner and sulk. Draw attention to yourself in a positive way.
We stand.
We do stand. Now, in a more positive note, in a more positive light, probably the best news that we got all week on here was about Florida standout Keontae Johnson. We finally got to see this. For anyone that missed it, he collapsed on the court in the middle of a game earlier, was taken immediately to a hospital where he was in critical but stable condition. We've been waiting. We saw a message from his parents earlier this week telling everyone that he was okay. He had FaceTime with their team as well. Keontae put out a message today on Twitter for everyone to hear in his own words, and here was that message from earlier.
Hey, everybody. First and foremost, I'd like to thank God. I know y'all have been sending y'all prayers out the last few weeks. And me and my parents are very grateful for the prayers that's been going out. To all doctor and medical staff at Tallahassee Memorial and UF Shands, I just want to say thank you for all the support y'all gave me, especially the lady that was in the gym at Florida State. To my Gator Nation and UF athletic family, I just want to thank you for all the prayers that y'all gave out to me. Go Gators.
Janae, incredible news there again. Florida, for the Florida Gators basketball team, collapsed during their game against Florida State. You heard the thanks given there to medical staff, but I think everyone nationally just breathed a sigh of relief after watching this happen before our eyes.
Couldn't say it better myself. That video literally brightened my day and gave me the energy I need for this weekend.
Absolutely. So we can all sleep a little better knowing that Keontae Johnson is doing well and in great condition, put that message out for everybody else. Keeping that same energy, though, Chiney, there has been one thing, the thing that gave me energy during this show today, the thing that I want to celebrate going into this weekend. I said I wanted one thing for Christmas at this point. Notre Dame can take care of themselves this weekend, but I wasn't sure if the right thing was going to be done on behalf of two of our friends. And we found out today, courtesy of the Myrtle Beach Bulls main Twitter account, that ESPN's very own Ryan McGee and Marty Smith are going to be calling the inaugural Myrtle Beach Bowl. As the Myrtle Beach Bowl themselves said, two Southern studs that love the Myrtle Beach area. We could not be more excited to have these guys in the booth. James Steele, who is working with us on the show here today, works with Ryan McGee and Marty Smith on Marty and McGee that you can catch on the SEC Network and on weekends here on ESPN Radio. James, victory lap for all you guys.
Yeah, we did it. We've been trying to get this thing done for a few weeks now. It's happening. Couldn't be more excited. We did it.
We did it. We did it. Okay, do you want to keep that same energy with the time we have left?
Do I want to keep that same energy?
You guys want to see me VersaClimb?
Oh, yes. All right, Chiney, tilt the camera over. Chiney Ogwumike built
a VersaClimber.
All right, let's
see if we can pull this off. I'm going to have to take my mic off. So how much time do I have, Cliff?
You got about 30 seconds
about
left.
30
so, Chiney,
seconds.
We need you to move and move quickly here. Chiney Ogwumike is going to try and unmic and VersaClimb for a live audience on ESPN Plus here. Chiney is a VersaClimber. She is a professional athlete, a baller, and a hooper for the L.A. Sparks, trying to make sure she stays getting right, getting fit, pandemic style. And so she's got the VersaClimber in the house, and she's going to try and give us a solid 20-second rep here as we finish the show out here. And she's going here right now. She is in the camera. I do not have the wind capacity for this. This is why Chiney is a high-level athlete for everyone watching on ESPN Plus right now. That's how you finish the show. Stay tuned. Spain and Fitz going to take you for an hour up to the Pac-12 championship game on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Chiney and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.